Every August for more than 20 years, a shady park in a rural Northern California town gets transformed into a meeting place for people from all walks of life. They all come together for one reason. The annual Cotati Accordion Festival.
Okay, boys and girls, everybody involved, get out there and play.
I'm Marco Werman of PRI's The World, and you're listening to Squeezebox Stories, a musical and social history of the accordion.
In my view, you mentioned the accordion, and it's immediately this assumption that it's just going to be 48 hours of polka music.
But that's not true. In many ways, the accordion is the first global instrument.
It is one of the few instruments that bridges the gap between all borders. Cajun zydeco, conjunto for Mexican music. In China, also very big. They're huge in their accordion. Japan, they love the accordion. The Swedes, the Germans, the Russians.
Pirates and gypsies, seafaring folk.
We'll be making four stops on our accordion tour of California. Our guides are radio producer Julie Kane and ethnomusicologist and accordion player Marie Abe. But first, let's take a tour of the accordion itself. On a basic level, an accordion is just a couple of big harmonicas inside a wooden box. They make sounds when air gets pushed and pulled over their reeds by the instrument's lungs, the bellows. Accordions come in many variations. Some squeeze boxes use piano keys for melody. Others use buttons. But no matter what they look like, the right hand always plays melody, and the left hand always works the accompaniment and chords, hence the word accordion. The squeeze box is still a baby in the musical world. The first patent for an instrument called accordion was made in Austria in 1829. Production soon spread to Germany and Italy. The accordion was a child of the Industrial Revolution. Mass production made them affordable, and the instrument quickly became popular all over Europe. Accordions were easy to play and easy to carry. That meant you could bring a bit of home with you wherever you went, kind of like a 19th century version of the iPod.
It was a walking jukebox as far as people were concerned, and it's uniquely suited to talk about not only where you came from, but where you're going.
That's George Lipsitz. He's a sociology professor at the University of California, Santa Barbara. He'll be coming along with us on this musical journey.
The accordion is not only a musical instrument, it's also an instrument of socialization. It's an instrument of assimilation. It's an instrument of upward mobility.
In the late 19th century, European immigration to America was booming. One of the places those immigrants came was San Francisco, and they brought their accordions along with them. Italian immigrants made the city an early hub of accordion manufacturing in the United States, which helped the instrument flourish in the first half of the 20th century. But when rock and roll hit the scene, the accordion fell from grace, deemed corny and uncool. Long the butt of many jokes, the accordion is now enjoying a renaissance in the city that helped make it popular. So our first stop is San Francisco. In fact, the accordion is San Francisco's official city instrument. Julie Kane has this story of an unlikely pair of accordion enthusiasts.
Skylar Fell plays her accordion in a warehouse in San Francisco, surrounded by instruments and tools. Fell is tattooed and pierced. A feather sticks up from the fedora she wears, cocked to one side. Bones and springs and bits of copper wire are woven into her dreadlocked hair. She has her own accordion repair business here, and it's flourishing.
Okay, so your total is going to be $490. We have everybody from 4, 5, 6 years old. Their parents are bringing them in. We have folks in their 80s getting their accordions that they've had for their entire lives rebuilt. We have a lot of people in their teens, 20s, and 30s coming in right now and getting involved in playing accordion. We're very busy. It's happening.
But she's still got a lot to learn. So she's learning her craft the old-fashioned way. She's apprenticing. 2 or 3 times a week, Fell gets into her rickety pickup truck and drives to meet up with her mentor.
Kind of like old world music making meets Mad Max Road Warrior. Hi, Vince. Morning. How are you doing this morning?
Okay.
Excellent.
Vince Cirelli is in his 90s. His parents were Italian immigrants, and Cirelli grew up in San Francisco's North Beach neighborhood, surrounded by accordion factories. He's been building and repairing them since he was 10 years old.
I started as a shop boy at one of the accordion shops at Colombo Company.
Over the years, Cirelli slowly worked his way up to become a master craftsman. The need for apprenticing comes from the complexity of the instrument. Accordions come in all shapes and sizes. They can have as many as 4,000 parts. Some have buttons, some have piano keys, and depending on the year they were made and who made them, the reeds might be different, the number of keys might be different, and even what they're made of can be different.
Now go ahead and take the tools out of there and put them on your bench.
In Cirelli's workshop, Fel and her mentor bend over an accordion lit by a bright light.
Now, let's see.
Tidy rows of tools line both sides of the table.
And it's just having one leak up here on the treble tone chamber.
What note is?
It's F sharp, the high F sharp right here.
All right, we're going to find out why.
When Vince is teaching me, he's very slow and deliberate.
Scarlett, would you lift this first?
Mm-hmm.
And this will tell me that the tone chamber valve is not leaking. Wait, it is. I don't want it to go to her head, but I will recommend her over many, many repair people because she's learning the itty-bitties of discipline and know-how. Let me hear it now.
Okay.
Just lift it. Now I see what I have to do.
Looking inside an accordion, you see rows of tiny compartments made of wood and beeswax and leather.
Do you want me to clean it?
Yeah, clean it a little bit off here.
Okay. You're using all your senses. You're using your sense of feeling and touching it, and you're also using your sense of your sight and looking at what the project that you're working on. And then you're also using your ears and hearing how each of the notes sound.
Lift again, babe. When you work in an accordion shop, on repairs, your patience is golden.
This really does resemble surgery.
Yeah.
Or accordion doctors.
Fel is in her 30s and Cirelli's in his 90s. But even though there's a 60-year difference in their ages, they're bonded by a deep love for the instrument. Cirelli first heard the siren's call of the accordion in the 1920s as a small boy on the streets of San Francisco.
I was out in the front stairs playing and I heard music coming. Beautiful music coming. I said, gee, I like what I'm hearing.
60 years later, Fel heard an accordion player in a punk rock club in Berkeley and felt that same infatuation.
And I was just like, wow, this is so powerful. I want to do this. Like, I'm going to learn how to play accordion.
And she did. In addition to fixing accordions and teaching other people how to play them, Fel regularly plays gigs with her band, the Hobo Goblins. Part of what's behind the renewed interest in the accordion is availability. Old accordions are getting pulled out of attics and handed down to grandchildren, or sold in flea markets and garage sales. They're pretty and affordable, and they often have a story to tell.
And this kid comes in around lunchtime.
And he said that my aunt and uncle gave me this accordion, I want to sell it.
It was an old accordion, cream-colored and embellished with rhinestones and curlicues.
Vince gets this little twinkle in his eye, you know. He's like, oh, this is just like the accordion that I used to play a long time ago in the 30s or what have you.
It seemed familiar, but someone had attached a strip of gold celluloid across the front, just above the keyboard.
I started to pull it, and I saw the eye on the end. a little bit further and I saw an L. I says, oh no. Then I ripped it up and there's my name.
V. Sorelli, his name on his accordion. Come back to him after, you know, 50 years.
Although Sorelli doesn't play much anymore, he and Fell plan to fix up his old accordion so he can pass it along to his grandchildren. It's a passing of the torch that Fell knows all about.
I think it's bringing new style to the old world charm of the accordion, taking history and taking the culture of the past and bringing it into the present and diving into the future with it. We got the accordion renaissance and accordion revolution happening right here as we speak.
That story about the new accordion revolution was brought to us by Julie Kane. You're listening to Squeezebox Stories. I'm Marco Werman. The revolution is all about making the accordion cool again, undoing the all polka, all the time stigma, and bringing the accordion out of the closet. But what put the accordion in the closet in the first place?
One and two and...
Lawrence Welk was one of the most successful bandleaders and television personalities in the 20th century, the son of first-generation immigrant farmers. Welk didn't learn to speak English until he went to school. In many ways, Welk was a bridge between the old world of the immigrant and the new world of the up-and-coming American middle class. Welk's show typified 1950s American popular culture, and he and his orchestra made the accordion the centerpiece on almost every one of his shows. George Lipsitz.
The Lawrence Welk Orchestra is one of those bands that came out of the Midwest, out of North Dakota in the 1930s and 40s. And of course, there were great black jazz bands that they were copying. And what they did, they smoothed off the rough edges. They toned down the rhythms.
By smoothing off those rough edges, Welk inadvertently made the accordion into a symbol of what was about to be reviled by the revolution in music and culture that was the 1960s.
So it's identified with that kind of whiteness, which is kind of a synonym in our society for something bland, for something too soft, something too smooth.
For some groups of people, though, the accordion never fell from grace. For black Creoles who left Louisiana to settle in California, the sounds of the squeeze box have kept their community together for generations. In fact, California is now home to one of the biggest Zydeco music and dance scenes outside of Louisiana. This is St. Mark's Catholic Church in Richmond, California. To be exact, it's the Social Hall, a bare-bones gymnasium with a wooden floor and basketball hoops at either end. On a makeshift stage, a band is playing. There's a drummer and a man scraping spoons up and down a rub board, a kind of metallic washboard that hangs off his shoulders like a piece of body armor. Next to him, Andre Thiry, a young-looking man wearing a pageboy's cap, wraps his arms around an accordion. Dancers of all ages fill the hall, spinning and stomping and laughing.
85% of the people here are from Louisiana, and they just brought the culture with them.
This is like being with your family, because this is one big extended family.
I've been coming here for years. This young man that's playing the music, Andre Thiry, grandmother and grandfather, they used to bring all the bands from Louisiana here and play the music here.
If you don't recognize the music, it's Zydeco, the music of Creole Louisiana. The first recordings of early Creole music weren't made until the 1920s, but the genre dates back even further. The accordion first arrived in Louisiana in the late 1800s, only about 50 years after it was first invented in Austria. 19th century Louisiana was already a melting pot. Louisiana had been in the hands of the French and the Spanish before becoming part of the United States. African slaves and free people of color mixed with Native Americans, Spaniards, and the French, giving rise to a new language and culture in Louisiana. The Creoles are people of mixed heritage who speak a regional dialect of French. The accordion was quickly picked up by local people because it had something that other instruments could not top: volume. It was loud enough to be heard unamplified over the din of a rollicking house party. The Creoles used the accordion to mix African rhythms with French Cajun lyrics. It wasn't called zydeco yet. That comes later.
My name's Andre Theory. I play accordion, play zydeco music. I got it from my family. My family from Louisiana. Both sides of my family, they migrated out here. Been playing for 20 years now.
Hey, hey, yeah. Oh, oh, bye. Pita Seisha, Pita Seisha, Chule Swasha, Tona Leisha.
My mom's mother, my grandmother, was throwing French dances in Richmond, California.
Starting in the 1940s, Black and Creole people from Louisiana began to move, first to Texas and then on to California, seeking work and opportunity in shipyards and on military bases. But it wasn't until the second wave of Louisiana migrants came west in the 1960s that zydeco started to take root in California.
My name is Lena Petrie. All the zydeco people call me Mama Lena. They're going to call me on the telephone, "Hey, Mama Lena." I say, "I'm not your mama."
Andre Theory's grandmother, Lena Petrie, only spoke French when she packed up her things and brought her young daughters out to California.
We came on the Greyhound bus. Mm-hmm.
She came to join her husband, Houston Petrie, who, like many Creole migrants, had settled in Richmond, just across the bay from San Francisco.
My people didn't want me to come. They said, "I will never make it here." I said, "Yeah, yeah." I said, "I'm going to try." I said, "If I can't make it, I know my way back here."
Petrie, like those before her, brought her language, food, and music with her. By then, there were enough other Creole people living in Richmond to gather on back porches and living rooms and at church.
And always somebody got an old car in, open and closing. They didn't know nothing much. They make the thing go.
In the late 1960s, Petrie and her husband started holding zydeco dances at St. Mark's Church, inviting Louisiana musicians to California to perform. Church dances were a great way to raise money for the congregation and a way to bring homesick Louisiana people together.
And everybody was enjoying it. There was some big dance. And the kitchen had some gumbo and red bean and rice, boudin, all that. And I was making all that.
Zydeco was also finding its way to California by another route. Chris Strachwitz, a German immigrant who was a huge fan of Black Southern music, lived in Berkeley, just a few miles from Richmond. One of the first artists he recorded for his then-young record label, Arhuli, was bluesman Lightning Hopkins.
So I was in Houston hanging out with Lightning, and one night he said, "Do you want to go hear my cuz?" And I said, "Who's your cuz?" That's Cliff." And I said, "Cliff who?" "Cliff Chenier." And we got there, it was a little beer joint, you know. I remember the rats were huge walking across the street. He was there basically with his accordion on his chest, and he was singing the most low-down blues I've ever heard, but in this weird patois. I had no idea, you know, what he was singing about. But it appealed to me right off because it was just pure low-down blues.
Chenier, a native of Opelousas, Louisiana, started playing accordion in the 1950s for mostly Black and Creole crowds in small juke joints in Texas and Louisiana. Strachwitz knew right away that he wanted to record this music and got Chenier into a studio to make a record in 1965.
He just used his brother on the rubboard and a drummer. That's all. Just accordion and rubboard and drums. And man, that sound just hits you.
Chenier melded the blues and R&B with traditional Cajun and Creole rhythms. This musical mashup was eventually called Zydeco. It became a big hit, and Clifton Chenier started to be called the King of Zydeco. Ethnomusicologist Mark DeWitt.
I've heard many people talk about Clifton who were not from Louisiana, who would say that that was the first time they heard an accordion where they weren't reminded of Lawrence Welk. Lawrence Welk was associated with sort of the square crowd and not at all hip or cool. But Clifton was cool. The fact that he could be cool and play the accordion at the same time was really a head-turner for a lot of people.
Andre Theory's grandma, Lena Petrie, already knew Clifton was cool. When he started to make it big enough to tour, she invited him to come up to play the church dances she was throwing at St. Mark's. Whenever Chenier came to town, he stayed at her house in Richmond.
Clifton was the regular one. Every time you come to my house.
And that's where Clifton Chenier met a very young Andre Theory. Theory loved meeting the musicians and spent as much time as he could at his grandma's house.
So he wanted to be where the musician was. And one day, we was all sitting on, I have a house, I have a long porch. We was sitting on there and Clifton was sitting on there.
Sitting on that porch one day, Chenier took a good look at Theory. He touched the young child's arms and told Petrie that her grandson was going to be a great accordion player.
I've been seeing accordion all my life. Actually, my grandmother would have one in her closet. I would sneak and play it. More and more I went to the dances, I fell in love with the accordion. Not really the music, but the accordion. Now I love the music, but I mean, the accordion is what kind of fascinated me because I wanted to make it do whatever it was doing, so I learned all by ear and just watching people, but mostly by ear and records.
And he started playing, me and my husband was sitting out on the porch one day. And my husband said, honey, he said, I think Andre played something. I said, Andre ain't playing nothing. Yeah, he said, he played. So I listened. Yeah, he was. I remember the waltz. I don't know if Andre played that no more. The waltz was Marty Rose. And so he used to say, boy, come on down here and play that for me.
Now in his 30s, Theory makes his living as a Zydeco musician, playing at churches and dance halls all over Louisiana and Northern California.
Andre Theory, everybody, and Zydeco Magic.
No matter how far we go, when we hear this music, it brings us home.
Connection to home has kept Zydeco music vibrant and alive, both inside and outside the Creole community. Nowadays, Zydeco is popular everywhere, from California to Germany to Japan. You can even go on special Zydeco-themed cruise ships. The scene that developed has brought people together from all walks of life. George Lipsitz.
The accordion, it's not just that it's been in different hands or played differently by different people. It's been the meeting place. It's been the crossroads. It's been the nexus where fused cultures were created.
And those cultures are as diverse and unexpected as accordions themselves. You're listening to Squeezebox Stories, a musical and social history of the accordion. I'm Marco Werman. We'll be right back after this break.